It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Jacinda, how are you?
Morena, I'm not bad. How are you?
Good. Last push before we finally get through this election season. Saturday is the last day to vote.
I feel like everyone has significant fatigue at the moment. but you're right to frame it as Saturday being the last day to vote. And I think that we're seeing an interesting shift this election where it's not so much that the 17th of October is polling day, it's just the last polling day.
It seems to be shaping up to be probably our largest turnout that we've ever had for early voting. Do you think, as you've just mentioned, do you think this is going to be a trend we see carry on in the next election cycles?
I think so. It wasn't so many elections ago that you could only advance vote if you had a reason to. And so over the past few elections, people, I think, have been getting used to the fact that they can vote any time. This time, we made a few changes. We supported the Electoral Commission to open up polling booths and places that people go, so malls and so on. And I think it's making it more accessible. One also crucial change we've made, and I hope this means that we see higher participation, is that previously you had to enrol before Election Day in order to be eligible to vote. We've now changed it that you can enrol on the day as well. Now, while I don't encourage people to leave it that late, it does mean, I hope, that there'll be fewer votes that won't count as
Certainly.
A result.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about some policy and some conversations that you were having last Sunday in Wellington. There was a big Labour Party rally, and you talked about your vision for a 2030 New Zealand. You spoke about halving child poverty is something you'd like to see by then. You also were talking about climate change and housing, a lot of ambitious goals, which your government has received some criticism of in the last couple of years for not necessarily achieving in the most recent term. How would you, specifically in regards to climate change, push those targets across the line and also increase them? Because we have seen, you know, fast and early response to COVID. How do we get that for climate change?
Yeah, and actually, all of the things that I talked about as our 2030 vision, we have already, I will come back to climate change, but for child poverty, for instance, those are goals we've already legislated and said that that's the target we have. And as much as the opposition, of course, like to attack this, actually we were, pre-COVID, on track to reach those. For climate change, some of the goals I talked about were, for instance, bringing forward our vision of 100% renewable electricity generation by 2030. Now, we have it within our sights to be able to do that. The challenge New Zealand has is what we do when we have a dry year, because of course our renewable energy really does rely on our dams. And so that's why we've, as part of COVID and our response, said we want to fund some investigatory work into options like pumped hydro, because that then becomes your backup in a dry year, and that would get us to our 100% renewable. So there's an example where we're already using COVID as a way to speed up some of those responses. Other areas, though, we've said we want to get rid of those low to medium heat energy generation using coal boilers. We've said we want to get hydrogen networked throughout the country, and we've already started on that for freight. So these are a number of initiatives that will make a difference to those areas where our emissions are high. We just want the chance to keep going.
We have seen a bit of conversation about what a potential Labour-Greens coalition might look like, and we've also seen a lot of people talking about it being the Greens that push Labour to do things, hold to goals for climate change, for poverty, for things like that. And I do want to come back to that, but I do want to talk first about housing a little bit more, because that's something that people have maybe felt more anxiety around with your government. People see perhaps KiwiBuild as a fail. How do you, how do you reassure people that that's not going to be the case going forward, and what is going to change, and what are your goals?
And look, we've had to be really upfront with KiwiBuild. KiwiBuild, we had a lot of ambition around our ability to build at scale for the in that affordable price range, because there was a real absence of affordable housing there. We have continued with the program. It hasn't ended. It just has never been at the scale that we anticipated. but it's never been tried before either. And look, you know, we've paid, and a minister paid a price for that, but I am not giving up on our ambition on what needs to be done in the housing market. So everything from, you know, stopping foreign buyers in our residential housing market, closing tax loopholes previously. That meant that, you know, we had people who were utilising the housing market for their personal gain in a way that wasn't helpful for first-time buyers. Making sure that we had a scheme that were encouraging developers to build affordable housing, and that KiwiBuild continues to play that role. We've also, though, looking at those first-time buyers, realise, of course, the deposit has always been such a hurdle. So we've changed up the Welcome Home Loan Scheme, so you don't need as much of a deposit if you are eligible for it. But we are also introducing progressive home ownership. So that's a significant program that, again, helps families who might not be able to meet a deposit, but who are already paying significant rent that currently would match a mortgage if they were able to access one. So, look, I am not giving up on us continuing in that affordable housing space. And that, of course, is separate to what we're doing on state housing, where actually we've been very successful. We're on track to meet our goals around 6,400 new public housing places. And, in fact, we've increased it. Part of our COVID recovery, we want to build another 8,000.
Now, to go back to talking about what it might look like after Saturday, when we start to see who could be able to form a government for this next term, and there has been a lot of speculation about what a coalition, a left-looking coalition, might look like. Grant Robertson was speaking the other day about the potential of a Labor-Greens coalition being something that is very much on the table. Do you think that we are going to see potentially something like that? Is that something that you would be personally quite pleased to see come across?
Well, look, I've said a couple of things on this. Firstly, that we're very, you know, MMP, you know, we don't tend to, New Zealand doesn't really tend to deliver single party majorities. And so that's it. That's the first thing. Of course, we're waiting until election day, but that's generally what we've seen from MMP elections. The second is, you know, I've already demonstrated that I can work with the Greens we already have. And so I don't think people have to guess or make assumptions or buy into a lot of the scaremongering or misinformation that occurs there, because we already have an example. The last 3 years, we have worked with the Greens. I think we've done it successfully. Ultimately, though, voters are going to decide who we work with, and I can assure them whatever they deliver, I will make it work.
Something that's been bubbling away in the kind of broader political discourse over the last few weeks is if we should lower the threshold for how much of a percentage of the vote that minor parties need to be able to get into Parliament. Currently it sits at 5%. Some people are arguing that that's too high. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it has been a debate for a number of years. There was some examination after MMP into what tweaks might need to be made. There's something called the life raft provision, the idea that if actually you win a seat, if you win one electorate seat, then you don't have to meet the 5% threshold. Then you can bring in your additional party members from below the 5%. That's never felt fair to Labor. So our position has been get rid of that provision, but we also are of the view that we could lower the threshold to 4. So that's long been our party view. You know, there has been a bit of debate over whether or not we extend election terms. And so it feels to me like there's probably a bit of the groundswell for some discussion over some electoral reform in the next parliament. But it's something that you'd want to build a bit of consensus around.
And perhaps one of those things as well might be lowering the voting age, because that's another conversation we've seen pop up frequently as well.
Yeah. I mean, people often, you know, in talking about that, you know, we do, it then does trigger that conversation around improving civics as well, which I totally would agree with as well. I often hear very polarised views on the voting age, but there's no harm in having these discussions at all.
I just wanted to touch briefly before we let you go on the conversation around wealth tax, because this has been something that has been talked about a lot. If there was the potential for a Labor-Greens coalition, would this be a bottom line for the Greens? And also you have pushed back against some comments from the National Party around this as well. But is the wealth tax, is this something that you'd be willing to consider or have a conversation about?
Yeah, and look, I've been really clear on this, because lots of policies, we will get asked in the lead up to an election, you know, is it a bottom line? Will you accept it? And, you know, by and large, I take the view that actually those are all hypotheticals that we need to leave until consideration of what voters deliver us in terms of who's having the discussion in the first place. But I have made the exception of tax policy. I think people do need certainty. And they also need to know that for economic policy, that the major party is going to be driving economic policy. So I have said no to the wealth tax. But I have, of course, had our own policy as a Labor Party, and that is what we've campaigned on.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Jacinda Ardern. We will talk to you again in a fortnight.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.